From the banks of the Colorado River in Lake Mead to the homes and businesses in Southern Nevada, welcome to Water Smarts, the podcast pumping from the heart of Las Vegas, where we engage with the experts who keep the water flowing throughout Southern Nevada. I'm Bronson Mack.
And I'm Crystal Zelke. From how we treat it, deliver it, use it, protect it, and conserve it, the Water Smarts podcast is all about water in Southern Nevada. We hope to make you a little smarter about the one thing that keeps us all connected, water.
Hey, Crystal, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing, Bronson?
I am doing great. I am binge watching TV, getting into all kinds of great shows. Only Murderers in the Building. Have you caught that one yet?
No, I'll admit, I don't watch a ton of TV. I mean, I have a few programs that I binge watch, but okay. I'm slow sometimes, so it's not completely a binge.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I got to say that in the evenings, after my wife and I enjoy a competitive round of Jeopardy, for which I never win, followed by a competitive round of Wheel of Fortune, which actually I have from time to time come out on top for that one, we usually end up watching either something local or we'll stream something. And, you know, one thing that's interesting about streaming as you're binge watching shows, when you're watching either Netflix or Hulu or any one of these other streaming services that are out there, you know, it is kind of nice from a viewer's perspective because there's not a lot of advertising that interrupts the programming like there typically is with television. But along with that also comes the challenge for those of us, and you and I are in this world of communication. It becomes a little bit challenging as people are watching more streaming services to be able to reach them with our message through typical television ads or radio ads. And, you know, obviously radio is competing with your streaming services, music services on your iPhone. You know, it is getting harder and harder for advertisers and marketers to be able to communicate with their audience. Do you get that sense as well?
Yeah, I was going to say it's more challenging to find different unique ways to reach, you know, your customer base or whoever is you're aimed at targeting, because we live in a world now where it's just our attention is in a million places, whether it's social media. You know, some people just watch all their content on their phones and our iPads, and not many people watch traditional cable TV anymore. So yeah, it's a challenge to get your message out there.
As we try and get our message out with regards to water conservation, we're getting our message there on those streaming services as much as we can. Obviously, we're hitting traditional television and then those ads that you see before you go into YouTube. But the Southern Nevada Water Authorities had some pretty unique ads, some pretty memorable ads to promote water conservation. And today, to give us some behind the scenes Hollywood type of insights into the Southern Nevada Water Authorities' public education campaigns, the development of TV ads in these radio spots, we are joined today by Beth Moore from the Southern Nevada Water Authority. Beth, welcome to the Water Smarts podcast.
Thanks for having me, Bronson and Crystal. Happy to be here.
Well, we are so thrilled to have you on, and we'd like to play a little bit of audio from the new ads. But before we do that, Beth, let's just talk a little bit about what the Water Authority's public education campaigns are, why we create them. I mean, what's the goal here for SNWA's TV and radio ads, and why are they successful?
Our goal is really to reduce outdoor water use. 20 years ago, when the drought started, we realized we really needed to start ratcheting down our water use, and specifically our outdoor water use. And we do that because all the water that's used indoors we're able to capture, highly treat, and return to Lake Mead, which extends our water supply. But the water that we use outdoors for irrigating our lawns and our landscapes is a one-time use. So we really, our messaging really encourages people to get rid of that useless grass, comply with the mandatory watering restrictions seasonally, and then to reduce water waste. So our objective is to get that water waste and water use down. And it's part of our bigger outreach efforts. We also got booths at community events. We distribute mailers. We've got banners and posters all around town and a number of other efforts just to get people to reduce their outdoor water use. And through the years, we've really refined our targeting. We've identified who we're speaking to, who our target audience is, and really what motivates them to reduce their outdoor water use.
Well, one of my favorite ads is, of course, the one with Ryan Reeves, who used to play for the Las Vegas Golden Knights. So my kids play hockey, so I'm at City National a lot and one of the other ice rinks, and it always made me laugh and chuckle when I'd go to the bathroom and Ryan Reeves is staring me down, telling me not to water on Sunday. So Beth, you mentioned research. Can you tell us a little bit more about why a lot of our ads have a certain flair to them? They're targeting a very specific type of person, correct?
Correct. So early on, about 20 years ago, when we started our marketing efforts, the ads were really soft. They were open just to the general public and they weren't very effective. We really, really needed to figure out who's the person who's changing these watering clocks inside the home. And so we did a bunch of research and we identified that males, we call them Joe Sixpack, that it's males typically ages 35 to 54 who are the ones in the homes who change the watering clocks. So we know that the women tend to remind their husbands to change the watering clock, but it really is the male. So we target our creative and our buys to Joe. We know that he watches sports, drinks beer, spends time in the garage. Yeah, we really focus on that. We for a little while there, we decided to open and broaden our target audience and create ads for everyone, and they were not nearly as effective. So we keep going back to that target audience and speaking directly to who we call Joe Sixpack.
So before we talk about the new ads, Crystal, I just got to ask you a question. You made reference to Ryan Reeves, and those Ryan Reeves ads obviously were outstanding. But you made reference to seeing Ryan Reeves in the bathroom when you go to the hockey arena and practice with your kids. Just help our audience understand, where were you seeing Ryan Reeves in the bathroom at the hockey arenas?
No, I did. I mean, he was in the bathroom. He was on a poster. On a poster in the stalls. So,
on a poster in the stalls. And I think that's a very interesting element here for that campaign, right? Because obviously tying that in with the Golden Knights, trying to reach a target audience here, you know, these are individuals who do frequent not only the hockey games, but also some of the practice arenas that are around town. And there was some advertising in the restrooms there that featured Ryan Reeves. So that's where you saw Ryan Reeves in the restroom, right?
Yes. And very clever, because in our household, I am the one who tells my husband to change the clock. So it works.
Look at that, Beth. Perfect placement right there. Hey, let's talk about this year's new ads. We've updated the messaging from what we call our compliance campaign, and those ads run every season when it's time to change your irrigation clock. We've also seen our ads reminding people to stop wasting water and report it. During the worst drought in the past 1,200 years, you don't want water running down the street. And as Crystal mentioned, one of our recent ad campaigns featured former Golden Knight player Ryan Reeves body checking people to get them to change their sprinkler clock. And then we had the ad with the young boy out in front of Lake Mead telling everybody that, look, this isn't kid stuff. Lake Mead water levels are so low, you need to change your sprinkler clock. Our most recent water waste ads, well, they featured kind of an obnoxious water drop in and out of the community. There were some ads where he was spitting water on people, showing that he was wasting water, and just kind of acting like an outrageous, kind of crazy uncle at the family picnic. What is rolling out for this fall, Beth? Tell us about these new campaigns. What are we going to be seeing? Are there any more sports heroes or crazy cartoon water drop figures this year?
Well, this year we decided to take a much more serious approach. We did some user testing to identify the tone and the theme of these new public outreach campaign. And we heard from our user testing that our situation is much more serious than it has been in the past. And so should our creative. So our new campaign that's kicking off this fall, the name of it is Get Real. And what it is it's focusing on the drought. Lake Mead's at historic lows. No more excuses. Change those watering clocks. It's much more serious this time around.
So let's take a listen to one of those new compliance radio ads. This one's for fall. It reminds everyone to turn down their irrigation clocks from 6 days to 3.
Lake Mead, the source of 90% of our water supply, is at historic lows. Lake levels have dropped more than 150 feet in the past 20 years. Only about half our community follows the seasonal watering restrictions. It's time to get real. One of the best ways to conserve water in southern Nevada is to change your watering clock now. Only water on your 3 assigned days per week in fall. It's the law. Find your mandatory watering days at snwa.com. SNWA is a not-for-profit water agency.
I can hear a difference in the tone from some of our past creative campaigns. Beth, give us the inside scoop on this one. What went into creating the theme and developing the creative? Were there any interesting hurdles the ad agency and your team had to make this happen?
Well, we film these commercials during the heat of the summer. And so that was a little challenging with safety being the number one priority and being out in the heat for 12 plus hours. We really had to be creative and keeping everybody cool during the heat. One of the things that we also did differently this time around is we were in a boat, we were in a helicopter, so we could really capture the low lake levels and the different aspects of that. So that was kind of a different take on things. We also, being more serious, it can be a little bit more challenging to break through the noise and get people's attention. But I think we figured out a good balance of that.
So everyone should be seeing the fall watering ad soon, because the fall mandatory watering restrictions start September 1 and run all the way through the end of October. Let's turn now to water waste. As Bronson noted earlier, the last water waste ads featured an obnoxious water drop. What's the next campaign going to look like?
So our next water waste campaign's name is Law and Water, and we highlight a vet and rookie water waste investigator, and we follow them around as they identify what water waste is, give fines to our customers who are wasting water, so they address those hefty water waste fines that are associated with wasting water, and then also about preventing and reporting water waste. So we use a bit of comedy and a little bit of humor, but it's also a lot more serious than our previous obnoxious water drop. These water waste investigator actors are portraying our amazing water waste investigators, and they take their job very seriously and are great at what they do. So we had to balance that between being funny and foolish, but also portraying them as being serious, because their jobs are very serious to get that water use down and to get people to prevent water waste. One of the fun things that we learned about our vet actor is that he has quite the history. He was on Grey's Anatomy as well as some other TV shows. So that was really great and exciting. It was fun working with such a pro. And our rookie, she was just absolutely hilarious. She had us laughing the whole time we were on scene, and we really had a good time producing these spots.
Yeah, these new spots definitely have a great visual associated with them. I agree with you. I think that they are very well done. Obviously, a little bit more serious than the obnoxious water drop, but still, you got a little tongue-in-cheek element here to it, playing off the Law and Order theme. But I'm sure people have seen the water waste investigators driving through their neighborhood. Hopefully, they haven't been visited by a water waste investigator because they're not wasting water, but certainly you have likely seen them in your neighborhood or within your area, driving with their blue and white vehicles with that big decal on the side reading "To Protect and Conserve." And they do kind of look like water cops. So with that, let's play this next ad focused on water waste for our listeners.
In the desert, water waste is considered especially costly. In southern Nevada, the detectives who investigate these wasteful violations are members of a dedicated squad known as the Water Waste Investigators.
What's going on?
Neighbor called it in. Classic cold blue busted sprinkler. Found runoff going down the street. That can be a big fine.
For wasting water?
Yeah, up to $5,000 for repeated violations.
Avoid costly fines. Prevent runoff and fix broken sprinklers. Learn more at snwa.com. SNWA is a not-for-profit water agency.
Thanks for talking to us today, ma'am. I know it's difficult, but I need you to describe for me the sound you heard in your neighbor's yard.
I hear it every day, even Sundays. It sounded like...
Shh. It's a pop-up sprinkler.
They're not following the seasonal watering schedule. It's the law. That can be a big water waste fine.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to you, we're going to save a lot of water.
Our anonymous tip lines are open. Learn to prevent and report water waste at snwa.com. SNWA is a not-for-profit water agency.
So, pretty good sounding ads there. Like we said, a little bit more serious than some of our past ads, but you can still hear a little bit of humor in there and the desire to educate people about the importance of water waste and getting that message across. So, Beth, let me ask you this. How challenging is it to get these messages out to the public? I know that I feel like I'm talking to, you know, the media and to reporters about these topics every single day, several times a day, and I still hear from my neighbors and read comments online from people who have no idea that they have an assigned watering day, that there is a watering schedule, or that the drought is really threatening our water supply in such a serious manner. So again, I'll go back to that first question. What challenges do you face in reaching our community with these important messages?
Well, as you know, we live in Las Vegas, and it is the entertainment capital of the world. And so breaking through that noise and getting people's attention can be really, really challenging at times. People receive their media from a number of different outlets than they used to. I mean, there's hundreds of outlets. And then we're combating against people being on their phones on a regular basis, TikTok, social media. And so it can be challenging, but we're figuring out ways to work our message into our particular target audiences. We also have a lot of new residents that are moving into town. So we've got to make sure that we keep them in the know of all of the drought conditions, watering restrictions. So we're constantly having to remind the public and those new residents as well. And then we have limited budgets. Paid media is expensive. So we have to make sure that we're using those dollars to the best of our ability to reach those target audiences at the right exact time and pushing out those messages. Some of the things we try to do too are some of the non-traditional media. Like Crystal mentioned, we've got our posters in restrooms, Thomas and Mac, City National Arena. We have a captive audience, and that's also hitting our target audience. Males are going to sporting events. We also have our mobile billboards. With those, we're able to really target specific areas where we know that there's a lot of water waste going on or where they're not complying. So we drive our mobile billboards with our messaging around those neighborhoods as well. We do activations at some of the malls. We're just always trying to look for new and different ways to get our message out there and break through that noise and get people's attention.
Yeah, it's almost like it's important that our message be placed where the audience is, you know, because the audience isn't necessarily coming to us all of the time for that information. So you pretty much have to put that out in front of them and meet that audience where they are, correct?
Absolutely, 100%.
Well, I look forward to seeing the new ads on the air and on social media. I mentioned earlier, I always liked the Ryan Reeves spots that the Water Authority put together and your team. But I also really, really like the new law and water ones. I think those are great. They're fun. Another one that got a lot of attention when it came out was called Mrs. Nuttington. And it actually won a lot of awards. It's the commercial where a woman rings the doorbell. And when the man opens the door, she kicks him and brings him to his knees because he's watering on the wrong day. It was really funny and award winning. But the goal, again, in that ad was to bring down water use. What are some of the most effective campaigns we've had as an agency? And do you have any surprises or insights about them that might be of interest to our listeners? Was Mrs. Nuttington effective at more than bringing her neighbor to his knees?
Absolutely. Miss Nuttington was extremely effective, and it was the first of its kind. It was very in your face out there. We did get quite a few phone calls. The funny thing is that the campaigns that we do that are a little bit more controversial or in your face, they're more effective. When we're getting phone calls from people, we'll ask them a question when we're done. Did you change your watering clock? And 9 times out of 10, they have changed their watering clock. So they're getting the message. Not everyone's going to like our message, but they're getting the message and they're complying. So some of those more controversial or aggressive campaigns were the most effective. Reality Check was also a very effective campaign, and it kind of took on a life of its own. Ryan Reeves became known as the water waste enforcer, both on the ice and off the ice. You would see people at the games who would hold up signs saying different things about Ryan Reeves and connecting him to being the water enforcer. People really, if they didn't know who Ryan Reeves was before the Knights came, they certainly knew after he premiered on our Reality Check spot. That was a really good, effective campaign for us as well. So these campaigns are also part of a larger overall campaign. We do more than just paid advertising. We have direct mail pieces. We do lots of social media, information on our websites. We have newsletters, videos that we send out on a regular basis. Our member agencies have also been great partners in getting the message out to their customers as well. So those are other ways that we get our message out in addition to our paid advertising efforts.
You just mentioned something there that I'd like to just dig a little deeper on. You said sometimes with the ads, people within the public will call. Are they calling generally to say, hey, I really like that ad? Or are they calling with a grievance with the ad? Like, what are those calls? Are they positive? Are they negative?
Most of the time, they're negative. They're calling to complain because they thought that the commercial was too violent or too aggressive. And so by the time we talk them through and explain what we're doing, reaching a target audience, trying to break through the noise, and making sure we get this message across and how effective these campaigns actually are. Over the last 20 years, we've made significant gains in water conservation efforts. We use 26% less water than in 2002, despite the fact that more than 750,000 people have moved to Las Vegas. But there's still more work to be done, and we're constantly needing to be out there reminding people to change their watering clocks, coming up with new creative, being creative with those messaging to get people to reduce their water use.
I find that so interesting that obviously, look, as a public agency, we are open to feedback from the community. In fact, we solicit feedback from the community on, you know, any myriad of initiatives or activities that we are doing. But I find it so interesting that members of the public who are rather upset with the ad because it might be too aggressive or because they didn't like the imagery of it will call and let us know. It's very obviously we appreciate that. But the key thing there that I think you mentioned is that they remember the ad and they remember the message. And you said earlier that you will ask them, did you change your watering clock? And 9 times out of 10, I believe it was, they did. So while they may not necessarily like what they are seeing, or it may not necessarily directly resonate with them, they are still effective ads in accomplishing the end goal of getting people to change their sprinkler clocks. You know, I remember reading once that one of the most popular and recognizable ad campaigns was for Alka-Seltzer. Some of our younger audience out there may not necessarily know what Alka-Seltzer is, but it was just an over-the-counter medicine for heartburn. And so they had this tagline that was, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. And that campaign, while I believe was rather award-winning and memorable, sales of Alka-Seltzer actually went down. So just because people appreciate the ad and found that ad to be interesting doesn't necessarily mean it'll work. And just sort of the flip side to that, if they don't necessarily appreciate the ad, like maybe with the Ryan Reeves being aggressive, they did remember and those ads did work. So it's just really interesting when you look at advertising, when you look at messaging and putting that out, what resonates, what doesn't resonate. But really the end goal here is, what is the result? Did the ad accomplish what you wanted to accomplish? I'm curious about some of the other ads though, like Ryan Reeves. When you did that Ryan Reeves ad, there was a guy that sort of flies into, I think it was a workbench in a garage, and a guy flies over the car. Were there stunt doubles for that? Did you actually have to have like stuntmen?
Oh yeah, we absolutely did. We wanted to make sure nobody got hurt or injured. And in fact, Ryan Reeves even had a stuntman that did his stunts. He wanted to do them on his own, but because we were so close to the season and safety was the number one priority, the Knights did not want him doing that whatsoever. So yeah, we had stuntmen that came in. That was a real fun aspect of that.
Let me ask you this real quick. What about CGI? Was there any CGI associated with any of those ads too?
We did. We did. When the barbecue fell over and the coals spread all out, and we had several different pieces in there that were a lot of fun. One of the other things that I think about when I think about the Ryan Reeves reality check campaign is when Ryan Reeves was out there, he really, really enjoyed hanging out with the kids. The neighborhood kids would come by and see us, and I think he enjoyed hanging out with the kids more than the adults. He was over signing autographs and doing a few things with the kids that they really enjoyed. One of the other funny things that happened is during one of the garage that you were mentioning, Bronson, the garage piece, he accidentally put a dent in the garage door. The owners of the home really liked Ryan Reeves and they thought it was so cool. We were all very nervous we were going to have to buy him a new garage door, but they were so excited that they asked Ryan Reeves to sign the garage door. And so they will forever have a signed dented garage door from Ryan Reeves. So that was kind of a fun one. During the pandemic, we also decided to, we needed a little bit of some new fresh creative. And this was during COVID. So because safety was a number one priority in everybody's mind, and because Ryan Reeves was in a bubble, we weren't allowed to be around him. We had one person come to his house and set up all of the equipment. And then he had to sanitize it all and leave. And he set up an iPad. So we actually filmed a couple of new pieces with Ryan Reeves and directed him through an iPad. So that was really interesting. At that same time, we were doing a few new radio spots, and the best place in his house for the acoustics was in his closet. So we went in with the iPad into his closet, directing him, saw his family, his kids in his closet. I mean, it was pretty wild, but he was just a real good down-to-earth guy to work with, and we really enjoyed producing that campaign with him.
You were in Ryan Reeves' closet?
Absolutely.
What's
it was
his
a highlight.
What's his shoe collection like? I bet it's pretty legit.
He does shoes, suits. He dresses. He's very dapper for sure. Absolutely.
He was in my bathroom, but Beth was in his closet.
Look at this. Ryan Reeves was all over the place. Now, listen, obviously, we are here to talk about these new campaigns that we have rolling out. You know, we've had a lot of success in the past with previous campaigns, some of them more memorable than others, obviously. Ryan Reeves rising to the top of the list as being the most memorable. But Beth, I got to ask you, I'm going to put you on the spot here. And I realize this is kind of like me asking you which one of your kids is your favorite. Which one of the SNWA ad campaigns is your favorite thus far?
Say I had a lot of fun with the reality check Ryan Reeves one, but to be honest with you, the campaign that is the most effective is always going to be my favorite one. So I'm hoping that Get Real ends up being my favorite campaign that drives down water use.
That'll be the Get Real campaign, that campaign that we just heard talking about this not being the future, that this is our reality today. Lake levels are low. We've all got to be doing our part to conserve. I too hope that that will become the most effective campaign that we have put out there. Let me ask you, Crystal, besides the Ryan Reeves ad, what ad has been your favorite thus far from SNWA?
Well, I do like the funny ones. I really enjoyed the one Never on Sunday, where it was the young lady who was sneaking back into her house in the early morning and she's turning off the clock on Sunday and she's all dressed up from partying all night. And her dad comes out and says, "Oh, that's so nice of you to turn off the clock. Is that your outfit for church?" I loved that one. I just thought that was really cute. I also really liked the one, I think we called it Suburban Moms. And it had the guy, the balding guy in the garage changing his clock. And the moms go by on their morning walk with the stroller. And I just thought that one was hilarious.
His little comb over does a little flutter there. Yeah, that was a good one. Hey, Beth, real quick, just jumping back to Crystal's favorite campaign here, the Never Water on Sunday, where the girl comes home. Do you have any additional insights? Was there anything unique about that campaign? I know it was successful, obviously, because we have high awareness of not watering on Sundays. But was there anything else unique about that campaign?
Yeah, that campaign, we were able to target two different demographics, our general market as well as our Spanish-speaking audience. And so that was a real benefit to that campaign, and that we didn't have to have separate campaigns for that. We could target and speak to both our general market and our Spanish speakers. And that was a very effective campaign.
I am glad that you brought that up, because one thing that our listeners may not know, especially if you know you are not bilingual or not paying attention to Spanish media, not only are we putting messaging out in English, getting people to change sprinkler clocks, avoid water waste, not watering on Sundays to our English-speaking community here, but we also have ads that are developed and geared specifically toward our Spanish-speaking community that speaks to them, that speaks to their culture, and ultimately conveys the exact same message of changing that sprinkler clock. I know that those Spanish campaigns have resonated very well with Spanish speakers here in Southern Nevada. Beth Moore with the Southern Nevada Water Authority Public Services Department, thank you so much for talking a little bit about the effort that goes into getting messages out, helping the community understand the need to conserve when it's time to change those sprinkler clocks. We really appreciate having you on.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed this and I'm very passionate about my job. And just remember, stay water smart.
Well, Crystal, I really appreciated that conversation, and it, not just because I am in the communications field, but quite honestly, I kind of like watching ads on television and kind of critiquing them myself, you know, that didn't seem very effective. But most of the time, my only comment is like, ooh, that's a good ad.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's a ton out there where you're just like, that was weird or that was different, but it sticks with you, right? And sometimes you like sing the songs from ads and they just stay with you.
Or even like Geico, like the Geico commercials, like not only do they run a lot of ads, obviously, but they run like multiple different ads. You know, you've got obviously the little lizard guy, but then at the same time, they will have another round of ads about saving on your car insurance that don't involve the lizard at all. So I always found that to be very interesting. And I always assumed that they were using those different ads, not just to mix it up, but probably because they had data that showed that there were a couple different audiences that they needed to be able to reach. So they tailored those ads to be able to reach those specific audiences. It's crazy. There really is a science behind advertising.
That's true. And I did want to go back to the part where you two were talking about sometimes these ads will elicit calls from the community, and some people don't like them or love them as much as maybe we do. But I do want to say, on the social media side, when we ran those Ryan Reeves ads, we would get a lot of women and fans who would say, if I don't change my clock, will you send Ryan Reeves over to give me a fine? So, you know, and we know that they were kidding and they changed their clocks, of course, but we really saw a lot of positive feedback too. So that was, that was awesome.
Yeah. So, and just kind of carrying on with that, and Beth referenced this, that fans would go to the games and would hold up signs related to the Ryan Reeves ad. And at that time, there was another player on the San Jose Sharks by the name of Evander Kane. And there were fans that were holding signs up that said, Evander Kane waters his lawn every day. Obviously, it's a reference to the Ryan Reeves ad, so go get them, Ryan. But when you've got that kind of bleed over where people are holding up signs related to the ad, I think that's when you know that you've hit a sweet spot and you're really resonating with your audience.
So to wrap it up, Bronson, we didn't ask you, so to tell us which one has been your favorite.
Oh, my favorite ad. I think I'm going to go back to the original, and I wasn't a part of putting together the original series of ads that included Mrs. Nuttington giving that guy, you know, a little kick where it counts. That entire campaign also included the gentleman who rings the doorbell the doorbell rings and the gentleman opens the door, and there is just the cutest little white dog there, kind of with his head cocked, looking directly at him. And the guy looks at the dog and he's like, yeah. And then the dog jumps up on his throat and begins to attack him. I mean, that was one of those ad campaigns. It was really the first one that the Water Authority did focused on getting people to change their sprinkler clocks. It did elicit phone calls, people saying, like, you know, that's too violent, you shouldn't be marketing like that. And I can certainly appreciate those opinions and that feedback. But that said, that ad campaign had demonstrated results. We saw a significant decline in seasonal water use. People changed their sprinkler clock. Being able to entertain while also conveying your message helps to really make that message stick, helps to then get people to take that action, change that sprinkler clock. Don't forget, September 1st, Southern Nevada's watering restrictions change to the fall season. We will need everybody to go out to where that sprinkler clock is located. Make sure that you are setting your sprinkler clock to your assigned watering days. Everybody has 3 assigned watering days. Your days are the exact same days as your neighbors. Go to snwa.com. If you don't know what your watering days are, put in your address. We'll help you identify those days. Well, that's it for this episode here on Water Smarts. We hope you subscribe. Don't forget to listen next time. We're always looking for questions from our audience as well. Send those questions over to watersmarts@snwa.com or get us through our website. Find the contact page on snwa.com. Shoot us a note with your question and we'll get back to you with an answer. And hey, we'll probably even read your question on our next podcast. So thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us here next time on Water Smarts.